May the Lord help us to commence this service with hymn number 242. 242. Good hope through grace the saints possess, the fruit of Jesus' righteousness, and by his Spirit given. Faith eyes the promise firm and sure, and hope expects forevermore to dwell with Christ in heaven. Hymn number 242.
Thank you. Let us read from God's holy word, from the Gospel according to John and chapter 14. The Gospel according to John and chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for ever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. May the Lord bless to us his holy word and teach us how to pray. Most kind and merciful Lord God, in thy goodness and mercy, thou hast gathered us here at this evening hour. And oh, we do pray that thou would abide with us, as thou didst to those two that journeyed to Emmaus. For it is toward evening, the day is far spent. Oh, may we be favoured like they were, for thou didst go in and abide with them. We pray for a sweet and sacred sense of thy sweet presence. May it be known within these walls and above everything, Lord, known in our hearts. May we prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And oh, may we be favoured, Lord, with a glimpse by faith of Jesus only this night. May all distracting thoughts and cares be removed from us. And Lord, may we know what it is to hear thy voice. Oh, may our fervent cry and petition be that thou wilt speak to us. We would pray with David of old, be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, thou would have mercy upon us. We are poor, needy sinners, if one may speak for us each. We would come humbly to thy dear feet, confessing our many, many sins, begging and pleading for mercy, and pleading to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, do come, dear Lord, and grant to us that heart to truly repent of our sin and to mourn over our sins before thee and beg and plead for mercy. Oh, do wash us, Lord, and make us clean every whit in thy precious blood. May we know and ever earnestly seek for it the blessed application of thy precious blood in our souls. We may know our pardon signed, our peace procured. We seek for grace, dear Lord, that we may endure to the end. We may have that real religion thou dost give to thy dear people. We may be found among thy living family. May our desire and fervent cry be with the hymn writer. With them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. We pray thou wilt come and assure each of our souls that thou art our God, our Saviour, our Redeemer. Thou hast loved us ere time began. Now do kindle the flame, Lord, of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. We pray that we may love thee and adore thee more. Now that we may know more and more of the love of Christ, shed abroad in our souls. And, O Lord, we pray thou wilt give us grace to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. May we ever be as nothing, a precious Jesus, the one thing that is needful. And, O, we pray that thou wilt grant those sweet encouragements, Lord, as much to discourage thy people and thy servants. And oh, we pray for those heavenly encouragements to be given. And may thy seeking people sweetly find thee. May those, Lord, that are burdened and heavy laden, being able to cast all their burdens upon thee. And may they know thy sweet sustaining grace. Oh, do whisper, Lord, those precious words into our souls. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. And, O Lord, do set free those that are in bondage. Oh, that thou wouldst loose thy people. Let them go, Lord. May they know that sweet liberty that Lazarus knew when thou didst loose him from those grave clothes. Oh, that thou wouldst whisper, Lord, in the hearts of those that feel bound and shut up, say to the wicked jailer, sin, loose him and let him go. May there be many brought, Lord, into sweet liberty and freedom. For thou hast said, if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. Do remember those that are tried, Lord, and tempted. Many of thy dear people work through many fires, Lord, and know what it is to be sorely tried. And oh, we pray that they may have a grain of that faith that is given to dear Job, to be able to say from the depths of their hearts, but he knoweth, the Lord knoweth, the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, we pray thou wilt bring thy people from the fiery trials, Lord, they have to walk through, out into a wealthy place, that they may praise and bless thy holy name. And, oh Lord, do take away the fears of those that are fearful. Oh, do whisper a fear not to their poor hearts. Calm their troubled breasts. Speak peace, be still. And, oh Lord, do dry up the tears of those that are weeping. May their tears of sorrow be turned into tears of joy. We pray that thou wilt call by grace any that as yet know thee not. May there be in this village an awakening yet, if it's thy will, of many sinners round to come and fill the place. May it be so throughout each hill of Zion, Lord, and that the prodigals may be brought to return. May there be those like the prodigal son in thy word, be brought to say as he did, I will return to my father's house, where there is meat and to spare. Lord, we beg for thee to appear and to revive thy work, both in our souls, in our churches. And if it would please thee, revive thy work in this guilty nation, that many may turn from the hateful ways of sin and turn to the fold and enter in. Do bless the dear children that gather on thy holy day, those with us too, Lord. Remember them, we pray for good. We work in them thy tender filial fear, while in early days, if it would please thee. Thou hast promised in thy word, may it be sweetly fulfilled, Lord, in these dark and solemn days, even among the young. I love them that love me, thou didst say, and they that seek me early shall find me. Oh, may there be amongst even the dear children and young people those to be able to say with the spouse of old, and may those that are older too, Lord, I have found him whom my soul loveth. We pray that thou wilt go on to work in those thou hast begun with, that there may be many established in the truth, steadfast in the vital things of God. And keep each one, Lord, from the youngest to the eldest, from this world of sin and wickedness. And keep us from grieving thee, dear Lord. Keep us from sinning. And keep us at thy dear feet. May we be humbled in the dust. May Christ be first and Christ be last. And Christ be all in all. We pray that thou wilt remember any that have special needs at this time. We pray that thou wilt come, Lord, and supply that need. And those that are exercised, Lord, concerning thy sacred ordinances and thy ways, to bring to fruition those exercises in thy time. And there may be those brought where the dear psalmist was, to say, come and hear, all ye fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Lord, we beg for a gracious increase in the church here, and too in the congregation and in our own church at home and throughout Zion, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldst revive thy work in the midst of the years and in the midst of the years make known. And in wrath remember mercy. I do bless all thy dear servants and grant them, Lord, that gracious anointing to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And may the word preached be made life and power to thy dear people. And may there be that real fruit, Lord, to follow. We pray that thou wilt appear for all Zion and throughout the earth. And I do remember this guilty nation. We beg for thy appearing, Lord. Thou art working our king and our prime minister and all those in government and in high places and in the royal household. And turn their feet to look to thee and to give them, Lord, that singleness of eye, to seek for thee to appear in all the affairs of this nation. And I do overturn and overturn all the works of the devil and all the evil that abounds. And may we yet see, if it's thy holy will, the wonders God alone can do. And, O Lord, do help the deacons here and bless them and strengthen them and bless the hymns they give out. May there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And we would praise and bless thy holy name for all thy goodness and mercy to us, Lord. We would not let thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. Do hear the cries of the silent cries of each heart, Lord, and send down those answers of peace, we beseech thee. To anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name this evening. May we be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. We would fall into thy kind arms and sink or swim, and do forgive anything we've uttered amiss or forgotten, Lord, and do make up in giving where we so fail, as we ask these poor breathings in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, and for his dear namesake. Amen.
Hymn number 964. 964. If to thee I breathe my prayer, Lord, wilt thou not deign to hear? Shall I seek, but seek in vain? Shall I ask, and not obtain? Hymn 964.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, and the 26th verse. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. This is a very sacred and blessed chapter. I expect it could be said that it's one of the most well-known and maybe even the most read in God's holy word. And in it are some most vital and profound truths. And the Lord has laid on me this 26th verse. And in it is the whole Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you and I are to get to heaven, we must know something of the sweet dealings of each blessed person in the Trinity. And it's all found in this 26th verse. We have, firstly, the dear Lord Jesus speaking this word to his dear disciples. And he says to them, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. You see in it, in that first clause of the text, there's the whole Trinity named. Jesus speaking, the blessed work of the Holy Spirit, whom God the Father would send. And what a promise this was to those dear disciples, wasn't it? I may say it was a word that they were going to need not only at this time when the Saviour spoke it, but for the rest of the days of their lives. And may I say this evening, if we truly fear the Lord, this is what we each will need as we venture on from this hour. Well, as Jesus speaks it, he speaks the most blessed things of what the Holy Ghost was going to do for these dear disciples, and for the child of God, right to the end of time. And let me just name them, that we may each lay it to heart. First, he was going to be their comforter. Secondly, he was going to teach them. And thirdly, he was to be the blessed remembrancer to them. And what precious things they are, aren't they? Let me ask you this question of my own heart too. Do we need these three things as we gather this evening? Because if this is of God that he has given it to me to bring to you, there will be those that will need it. Well, let us look for the first thing. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Remember, these dear disciples were walking in a path of sorrow, of great depth, that they had not walked in heretofore. Their dear Redeemer, the dear Lord Jesus, who they had had sweet communion with, fellowship with, he had undertook for them right up to this moment of time. He had called them by his grace and brought them from the world and its pleasures to seek him and to serve him. But now he was going to leave them. And what do we read? Sorrow filled their hearts. Are there those of you tonight that walking in things of sorrow, maybe in something you've never had to walk in before? There are many sorrows that God's dear children have to endure. He says to them in John 16, those beautiful words, ye now therefore have sorrow. They were in it. There are times where the child of God will not only say, well, we've got sorrow, but we're right in it, walking in it. And this is where they were. Ye now therefore have sorrow. But he says to them, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. It's a sacred promise, isn't it? But the Comforter. Now, we have so many sweet references given by the Saviour, even in this chapter and in the following chapters, of his promise to send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, to them. And poor soul, before I name these, you know, it's the blessed Holy Ghost that will convey the comfort of heaven down from heaven into the poor sinner's heart. As the Lord speaks a word of comfort to his sovereign saints, it's the blessed Holy Ghost that will convey that down right into their heart. And what does he say in verse 16? Remember who spoke it, the dear Lord Jesus himself. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Look how comprehensive that promise was, that he may abide with you forever. You may say, what, such a poor, weak, helpless worm as me? Now this is what he's promised. And remember, sinner, what he has said can never return void. It shall be accomplished in his time and in his appointed way. The second that I would name in the chapter is this. He says to them, I will not leave you comfortless, or as the margin says, orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. Beautiful words, aren't they? May the Holy Spirit convey them into your sorrowing heart, whatever that sorrow may be tonight. I will come to you. And when he promised he would come to them, he was to fulfill it in every jot and tittle. I think of a dear lady. I remember when she gave her testimony to the church some years ago now, she spoke of being in so much sorrow because of her sin, because of her failings in her life and pathway. And she was trying to do her ironing. And as she ventured with it, the Lord spoke to her these precious words, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." She said, in a moment, all that sorrow she was walking in was turned into joy. His love flowed into her soul. The comforts of heaven were conveyed to her. All the grief and distress she was in because of her sin was all gone. And all the peace that filled her heart. She never forgot it, you know, and she won't to the end of her days. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then, of course, there was this word in our text, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. And when he sends it, poor soul, it'll come with the power of heaven, that comfort. And it can sweep away all the sorrow that you may have. And he can do it in a moment. But then we find in the following chapter, Jesus says this in the 26th verse, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Beautiful words, aren't they? You know, such the sacred promises in John 14 and 15 and further places in the Word of God, they're everything that the child of God will need, both for time and eternity. And let me say this lovingly, you can plead them before the Lord. You can take them back to him and say, "Lord, thou didst say this to me. Oh, do fulfill it." But he has an appointed time. It's like the hymn writer said, isn't it? "A time he has set to heal up thy woes. A season most fit his love to disclose. Until he is ready to show his goodwill, be patient and steady and wait on him still." You know, it's one of the best prescriptions a child of God can ever have, really, isn't it? Be patient and steady and wait on him still. He will, in his time, as I indicated just now, and in his appointed way, fulfill exactly what he has said. Man may promise this or promise that, and we may do it with the best intentions, but we're poor creatures of the earth, and so often circumstances come and we cannot fulfill what we have promised, or we have not the health or strength or the means. But not so with the Lord. You see, there's no limit to his power. So may the Holy Spirit whisper this to you, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." He says, "In my name," Jesus says. Why? That he might have the glory. And as the Holy Ghost conveys that comfort to you, Your very soul will glorify the dear Redeemer. Give him all the praise. So that is the first part. Much could be said. You see, the Lord in Isaiah's day, when the church was in much sorrow, sent the prophet with these words, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she shall receive of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. Oh, what a comforting word that was, wasn't it, to the church in Isaiah's day. And he was sent to deliver that comfort. And the Holy Spirit was to seal it in the hearts of the church of God in those days. And what about you and me? How sweet it would be if the Lord were to whisper that to us. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Just one further thing, then I'll press on. But you think of the sorrow that dear Hannah was walking in. And it wasn't just one sorrow, it was many. She had the great sorrow of her barrenness. And that was a great anguish to her. Caused her much stress and distress of soul. But secondly, the Lord was hiding his face in the matter. And then thirdly, she had an adversary that continually provoked her. And there may be those of you this evening that have got the adversary, Satan, that continually provokes you. And then, as we may say, and it was all part of what she had to walk through, Eli, who was the servant of God, completely misjudged her. And what did that do? It even sinks her lower. You know, we don't like going down, do we? But she had to go lower still. He completely misjudged her and thought she was drunken. She says, count not thine handmaid as a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my grief and sorrow have I made my request known unto God. And the Lord was pleased to send her comfort. Listen to what the Lord said to Eli. Go and say to Hannah. And it wasn't just Eli speaking. It was the Lord. Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition thou hast asked of him. And what was the effect of it? Her countenance was no more sad. She hadn't got her Samuel, but she had the sweet assurance the Lord was on his way to appear for her. And the comfort that word brought her, you know, go in peace. I don't know what you may be in, child of God, tonight, but may the Lord whisper that to you. Go in peace. And the God of Israel, grant thee thy petition thou hast asked of him. And you know, faith in her believed the Lord would fulfill it. And he did, didn't he? We all know that wonderful account how the Lord gave her, Samuel, subdued the adversary. The Lord smiled upon her and turned the sorrow into joy. But she was to know that sweet comfort. Well, I'll leave it for your further meditation on that sweet subject, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And then the second thing. He shall teach you all things. Think how profound that is, really. He shall teach you all things. You know, there's no teacher like the blessed Holy Ghost. He shall teach you all things. Whatever you need for time and for eternity. Well, may the Lord anoint us and help us to look into it a little. Firstly, he will teach each one of the dear Lord Jesus, his children, that he came into this world to suffer, bleed and die for. He will teach them their sinnership. He convinces the sinner of their sin. So they don't just speak of sin with their lip. They feel it and know it within their heart by divine teaching. And that was the difference between the Pharisee when he went up to pray and the publican. The Pharisee thought he knew much of teaching. But the publican knew what it was for the Lord to teach him his sinnership. It's sinners can say, the hymn writer said, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. Is he teaching you what a poor, wretched sinner you are? Will you think of the Apostle Paul? What did he say? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He knew what it was to feel a wretched sinner before a holy God, and the Holy Ghost had taught him it. And then you think of dear Job, when he said, I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Who was it that made him feel to the solemn state he was in and to abhor himself? The Holy Ghost working in him. Teaching him how poor and vile and helpless he was. Behold, I am vile. And then we think of others in the Word of God. Those that came to the Lord Jesus, feeling their sin and vileness. And who had told them it? No man. Or they hadn't just thought it themselves. The Holy Ghost had taught them. But he doesn't just teach them that. That is one side. He teaches them the need of a precious Jesus and the need of his precious blood. You know, it's very sweet when the Lord works, you know, teaching the sinner their sin and then teaching them where to go with it all. Fleeing to the Lord for mercy. You think of the dear dying thief, how he had to come in the last moments of his life. Where he felt his great need of a Saviour. And who had taught him that need? It was the Holy Ghost. Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And you know, when he looked at the Lord Jesus, when that other thief reviled and spoke so evil against the Saviour, what did the dear man say as he looked at the Lord Jesus? And it's a lovely word, really. He looks at the precious Christ there upon Calvary's tree and he says, but this man, this glorious man, hath done nothing amiss. He saw in the Lord Jesus complete perfection. He knew no sin, but he came into this world to save the vilest and blackest of sinners of all sin. And the Holy Ghost had taught him it. Is he teaching you to flee to the dear Redeemer? There may be many things that weigh your poor heart down as you look at your heart and all the sin there is within and the sins of your life. The vileness you feel. But poor soul, is he not teaching you to look to Jesus? You know, it's so rested upon me much of late. How many, and you can look it up at your leisure, of those that came in need in their various ways, whether it's the dear woman with her daughter, or whether it was the blind man, when they came to Jesus and others, how did they come? They came on the grounds seeking for mercy. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And that's how they came. Now, who had taught them that? The blessed Holy Spirit. So they came like the publican, God be merciful to me a sinner. And that's the grounds they came on, seeking for mercy. There's a beautiful couplet, isn't it? It's very sweet to me. Mercy through blood, I make my plea. Oh God, be merciful to me. May the Holy Spirit teach us more and more to seek for mercy. And the Lord will give it. Look at those characters in the Word of God. He had mercy upon them. He delivered the dear woman and her daughter. He delivered the blind man. They received their sight. Oh, may we ever be taught by the Holy Spirit to cry unto the Lord in all times of need. And he teaches too the need of humility. You know, it's a wonderful mark of grace, gracious humility. If you want a pattern of it, poor soul, and the Holy Spirit can teach you it, He'll lead you to view the dear Lord Jesus. He humbled himself and made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Oh, poor soul, may we ever be like Legion, brought to the feet of Jesus. And who brought him there? The blessed work of the Holy Spirit in him. To the feet of Jesus. Clothed in humility. Clothed in love. Clothed in godly repentance. At the feet of Jesus. And in his right mind. He shall teach you. And he'll teach you, poor soul, there's only one place you can lean when you're in the depths of trouble because of your soul or because of the pathway or because of the trials in the way or in business or in providence. He'll teach you you have to lean upon the Lord. You know, I think of the spouse often, you know. She came up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. She couldn't lean on herself, and the Holy Spirit had taught her she couldn't. Nor can you, child of God, if the Lord is teaching you, there's only one place you can lean. What does the hymn writer say? On her beloved Lord she leans. And he'll teach you that all you need is to be found in a precious Jesus. What do we read? It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Is he teaching you that? There's a blessed fullness in the dear Redeemer. And he'll teach you the need to draw from that fullness. You think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon. What did she pray? A beautiful prayer. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Is he teaching you? By drawing you to the dear Redeemer. Because in him is everything you need. What does the hymn writer say? In him a rich fullness dwells and is freely given. So it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, not some things, all that you need for time and for eternity. And there's no teacher like the blessed Holy Ghost. Well, much further could be said on that. I've just hinted at a few things. But then he goes further. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He's the blessed remembrancer of his dear people. There may be those of you this evening saying, and many say it, oh, but my memory's bad. If only I could remember. Especially when we get older, we can't remember like we used to. But you know, there is a blessed remembrancer, and that is the Holy Ghost. And as these dear disciples were to venture on from this hour, when the Lord spoke it to them, they got to remember what he had said. And you know, the Lord can bring it to your remembrance in a moment, poor soul. Well, let's look at it in a few ways as help. Firstly, go back to what Moses was inspired by the Holy Spirit to say to the children of Israel. But thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to suffer thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord. And here we have, you see, the Saviour speaking the same blessed language. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Many that are exercised concerning following the Lord in his sacred ordinances, many feel, well, my memory's bad, how can I remember the way? Well, poor soul, you have the blessed Holy Ghost who is the remembrance, and he can bring it to you in a moment. Oh, he can. I know many have sometimes held back because they've said, well, we cannot remember like we used to or we wish we could, but the Holy Ghost is the remembrance. And he can bring it to your remembrance, poor son. There have been times when I've had to speak of the Lord's beginning his work in me and the wonderful way he led me to a precious Jesus and that. And you know, I've so often stood up and I thought, well, how am I going to do this? The only way is the Holy Spirit to bring that to your remembrance. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. And it's something you can plead, Lord, do bring it to our remembrance. Now, look in your poor heart and mine. Has he spoken to you? You think of the sweet promises he gives to his dear people. Those promises that, and those that you'll remember are those that he has burnt in your heart, poor soul. He's not just in the mind. Let's be very clear about that. The natural professor of religion has got so much in his mind, but what is there in our heart? Because that which is burnt in us by the Holy Spirit, we shan't forget. Oh no. I was talking to our dear friend at Southery earlier today, and he was saying of a few things the Lord had spoken to him. And one thing I had a sweet dovetail with him in was that a word that the Lord had spoken to him, and the Lord spoke it to me many years ago in Abington Chapel, Leicester, when we sung that sacred hymn, Children of the Heavenly King. We got to that line in the hymn and the Lord breathed it into my soul. And I shall never forget it. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. And poor soul, when he breathes such a word into your soul, he'll lift you. Above all the things of time and of this earth, and you can venture upon him. So we have this sweet remembrance of what the Lord has done, what he has spoken. And so often, you know, he brings us and it dovetails in what we've been trying to look at earlier, and he shall teach you all things. He'll bring you into paths of affliction to teach you your helplessness, your poverty, and bring you really low, and then the Lord will speak to you. You see, so often the best promises are when the child of God is in the depths. Oh yes. You look through the Holy Word of God. How many times when the children of Israel and those dear patriarchs throughout the Old Testament were in the depths, it was then the Lord spoke to them. Because they couldn't go on without it. Words they'd never forget. Oh no. And you know, when the Lord speaks the word to a poor sinner like he did to Mary Magdalene at the sepulchre weeping, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She was to never forget how he revealed himself to her there. And the Holy Spirit was to bring it to her remembrance. Oh, it was. It may be years ago. I remember going to the, and I'll just leave it, but the time's nearly gone, but I remember going to the baptising service of the late Mr. Clement Wood's mother. And the Lord's servant, the late pastor at Rehoboth, Tunbridge Wells, took the service and was to baptise her. And I've never forgot the text. I think it's the only minister I've ever heard preach from it. In the first chapter of Deuteronomy, until ye come to this place. And he spoke of all the places which the Lord brings his dear people into, until ye come to this place. And he spoke about how the Lord had blessed her in her early days with a wonderful fear not. And that word had carried her for many years. And then, in her middle life, she had to go into hospital for a serious operation. And she was so perplexed and troubled that she felt to have got nothing what the Lord had given her. And you know, as she lay in that hospital bed prior to the operation, the Lord spoke to her again from heaven. The Holy Spirit brought it back to her remembrance, what he'd said to her those 20-odd years previous. And then, in her latter days, she had cancer and had to go in for much treatment and different things to be done. And when she went in, she was so burdened and so troubled with all she was in. And the Lord spoke it to her again. And he brought it back with the same power that he'd spoken to her 50 years before. And the Lord so filled her as he spoke it to her with his love that she was willing to take up her cross and follow the dear Redeemer. And you know, she opened her heart at that meeting. She rehearsed it all what the Holy Spirit had brought to her remembrance. Thou shalt remember. Not an in and of yourself, poor soul, and any that may be exercised tonight, may this be of sweet comfort to you. And you can plead it before the Lord. It's not my word, it's what the Saviour himself said. And bring all things, not some things, all things, to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And what he has said, poor soul, I'll take you back what I said earlier, will never return void. He said, didn't he? My word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Kingham will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Roland Wheatley on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn number 735. Oh, the happiness arising from the life of grace within, when the soul is realizing conquests over hell and sin, happy moments, heavenly joys on earth begin. Hymn 735.
Thank you.
dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own precious word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the bite. Do forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Take us each into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship and communion of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.